from WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldine. It's Wednesday, October 26th. Coming up, John Deere is planning to have an autonomous tractor widely available by the end of the decade, but reaction from farmers is mixed. That story from Harvest Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. An Illinois lawmaker wants to considerably streamline how cannabis is controlled in the state, but he's running out of time. Alex Degman reports.
State Representative Marcus Evans wants to create a new Cannabis Control Commission, one agency that handles everything. Right now, 10 entities divide the recreational cannabis workload. Evans says a one-agency system works in other states, and support for his measure here is growing.
We want government to be easy and user-friendly, and I think the commission, at the very least, it would just be a centralized place to go to get information, and of course, for the business community, a centralized place for them to go to get an answer.
Evans introduced this early in 2021. He has only until the end of this winter's lame duck session to move it. Otherwise, it'll die when the next General Assembly is sworn in January 11th. I'm Alex Degman.
Candidates running for Illinois Attorney General met in a debate last night on WTTW's Chicago Tonight. The Democratic incumbent Kwame Raoul was asked whether campaign contributions from billionaire Governor J.B. Pritzker had compromised his ability to defy the governor.
I don't seek to try to defy the governor's office. In fact, I'm statutorily responsible to represent the governor's office. I've never received a campaign contribution that's dictated what I do in my official duty, and that's not going to stop now.
Republican candidate Tom DeVore says he would have used the power of the Attorney General's office to challenge Pritzker's COVID mitigation measures. DeVore rose to prominence filing lawsuits over mask mandates. The Libertarian candidate in the race is Daniel Robin. In the 13th Congressional District, Republicans say Democratic candidate Nikki Budzinski earned thousands of dollars as a consultant. Illinois Newsroom's Harrison Malkin puts that claim to a truth test.
A Better Government Association report called Nikki Budzinski into question for cashing in as a political consultant. Here's how David Jackson, a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, describes his story.
We looked at a powerful government official, state government official, who welcomed and had relationships with a lobbyist while she was in state government, and then left state government and took a very quick $82,000 payday.
In total, Jackson says Budzinski collected over $500,000 in consulting and other fees after leaving her job as a senior advisor to Governor J.B. Pritzker. While Budzinski's prior work wasn't illegal, Jackson says this is information, quote, the public and citizens should have. I'm Harrison Malkin, Illinois Newsroom.
Planned Parenthood says its expanded health center in Champaign will allow it to provide in-clinic abortions at the site for the first time in years. The group now provides in-clinic abortions at 7 sites in Illinois as it works to meet a growing demand due to abortion bans in surrounding states. Planned Parenthood of Illinois President Jennifer Welch says since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in June, women in states that have banned abortion have turned to Illinois for help.
Our unique geographic location makes us the largest surge state for abortion patients in the country.
Welch says the nearest states that reliably permit abortion are Michigan and Minnesota. Planned Parenthood officials say the Champaign Clinic has seen patients from 11 states since Roe v. Wade was overturned, with most out-of-state patients coming from nearby Indiana. Still to come, we'll look at the future of autonomous tractors. How soon will they be in a field near you? That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
One of the costliest hurricanes in U.S. history barreled through Florida weeks ago. I'm Jeremy Hobson, and next time on The Middle, we'll be live from station WGCU in Fort Myers, asking you how your life is changing due to climate change, and what, if anything, you want the government to do about it. Call us at 844-4MIDDLE, that's 844-4MIDDLE, and join us live on The Middle.
Wednesday night at 8 on WILL, AM 580 and WILL, FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Autonomous vehicles that drive themselves, seemingly with a mind of their own, may come to farm fields long before they're common on roadways. John Deere has announced its plans to develop autonomous tractors that can take on many of the duties of growing crops, no farmer needed. Harvest Public Media's Jonathan All reports the idea is being met with equal parts excitement, skepticism, and fear.
Earlier this year at the Consumer Electronics Show, farm equipment manufacturer John Deere unveiled plans to have fully autonomous tractors and other farm implements on the market and in the fields by 2030. The company's presentation included a video featuring Minnesota farmer Doug Nims praising the prototype he used on his 2,000-acre corn and soybean farm.
I think the tractor can do a better job than I can do. Autonomy. It's going to be a life changer for me.
Deere contends a tough labor market for ag workers, wanting to free up farmers' time to do more important things, and better farming are the goals of their efforts.
I'd say we've been chipping away at autonomy for the last 20-plus years, really.
Ryan Jardin is in charge of marketing large tractors at Deere. He says the equipment his company is developing can not only run day and night without an operator on board, but can also plant, plow, and apply fertilizer more accurately and efficiently.
Is it automates not only the driving function, but basically every decision point that operator would have made. So, and that can include things like adjusting the tillage tool depth or steering around an obstacle, things like that.
While Deere made a big splash at CES, there aren't a lot of details on an exact time frame on when the machines will be available. And Jardin says that's on purpose. He says this slow rollout is designed to give farmers a chance to process the idea, and the reaction is mixed.
I couldn't do it, but then again, I'm past 60. I can't see it.
Dave Busby has a small livestock and vegetable farm in central Missouri. He's having lunch in a local restaurant after spending all morning on his low-tech tractor. He says he doesn't like the idea of sending out a machine to do the work for him.
There's nothing more appealing to me than to go out almost in the spring. If you plow your ground, that smell that comes up, that first spring plow, or to get out there and have your hands on what you're doing out there. To me, that will always be what real farming is.
Younger farmers may be more amenable to the idea. Chris Otten farms 1,400 acres of corn and soybeans in southern Illinois. An easier, high-tech way of farming may be more attractive to the younger generation, like his 8-year-old son. But he also says technology can't farm by itself.
And to trust the fact that it's going to work correctly all the time, and be able to sit behind a computer screen, I think that would ruin agriculture, and I think we would see a huge issue in our food supply if we went completely that way. You can do that to a certain degree, but again, there's going to have to be a balance point of where does that stop.
Otten says as long as autonomous tractors are being set up and run by a farmer who's invested in the land and not by a corporation's technician miles or even states away, it could be a good thing. Others say autonomous tractors could be good for the environment by increasing efficiency. Rob Myers is the director of regenerative agriculture at the University of Missouri. He says that could mean reduced use of fuel, fertilizers, and pesticides.
They will have an impact in terms of gathering more data that may lead to a higher use of precision application, different seeding rates, different fertilizers, maybe even planting different varieties in places.
Even with autonomous tractors, Myers says farms need farmers.
Farmers have plenty to do, not just driving tractors, so I think they will keep busy with other things if the tractors are autonomous, but we'll see.
While Deere and some other manufacturers are moving quickly toward automation, there are barriers that will shut out many farmers, namely the price tag. While Deere is not releasing information on how much these tractors will cost, industry insiders routinely throw around figures of well over $500,000. I'm Jonathan All, Harvest Public Media.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be partly cloudy and cooler today with a high of 56 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Rob Wildebohr, Harrison Malkin, Jim Meadows, and Jonathan All. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.